The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTK.com. Michigan falling to Michigan State in the regular season finale, 70-64. But still, the Big Ten championship, regular season championship, was clinched it with the Thursday victory. The one seed, obviously, clinched with the Thursday victory. So in the grand scheme of things, the game didn't mean anything, but still didn't want to get beat by Sparty, right? Joining us to reflect upon that game and to ask the question, who would you like to see come Friday? It's our good friend, the mayor of Michigan Twitter, Scott Bell. Scott, how are you this morning?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Like you said, a bit annoyed. The grand scheme of things, that loss doesn't mean much, but you still don't want to close the season with a loss to close a regular season with a loss to Michigan State. So a smidge annoyed, but it's coming on the same week where Michigan won a Big Ten championship, so it is what it is.
Right, right. We had the majority of fans said, hey, you play that game to win. You are not sitting any of your starters or anything like that. You are out to win this game, period. We did have a few listeners, even Mike Spath, would say, hey, you rest guys in this game. One of our listeners, Zeke, he was like, look, I was saying maybe you play your starters 10 minutes and sit them the rest of the game. This game doesn't mean anything. And, of course, when Eli Brooks goes down, you know, folks that were, you know, coming from that point of view are saying, see, I told you. So what side of that argument did you fall? Were you rest the guys, or are you like, hey, it's Michigan State? You absolutely never concede a game to Michigan State. Where did you fall?
It's funny. You mentioned the Brooks injury, and I think that's kind of where my philosophy on the game changed. I think going into the game, you understand that there's not that much on the line in terms of, okay, win or lose, you're still going to be a one seed in the Big Ten tournament, and almost assuredly the NCAA tournament and the conference titles locked up. But you never want to lose to Michigan State, and it seemed like they were probably going to be on the right side of the bubble either way. But if you have the opportunity to sort of prevent them from being in the tournament, I know it sounds petty, but I mean, that's an important thing, and there's tangible recruiting effects and perception effects that while there's not much on the line this season, I think it could have been great. And even narrative wise for Juwan Howard to be 3-1 against Michigan State, I think that would be beneficial for him in the program too. So going in, like, yeah, that's a game I wanted to win, absolutely. But once Eli Brooks went down, I think the tone of the game really changed, and I think it was basically, all right, we got to get out of here without any other damage after that. And you get the game back down to 2 points in the last minute of the game. Absolutely, I'm at the edge of my seat, and I'm wanting Michigan to still pull that one out. But after the Brooks injury, I think the feeling, at least on my end, and I think the majority of the Michigan fan base was kind of just, okay, wrap everyone up in bubble wrap and let's get out of here without any other injuries.
So as you look back at, you know, going 1-2 on a week, still winning the Big Ten championship, right? Only 3 losses on the season. But there was a theme that was present in both of those losses last week. Juwan said after the game that he felt like both Michigan State and Illinois in those victories, that they were the aggressor, that they took it to Michigan, that they set the tone physically, and that Michigan didn't respond. I think less about the emotion for me not being there. I mean, he can certainly look that way, but he would know that far better than us because he's right there on the sideline talking and dealing with the guys. But the thing that really sticks out to me is both of those teams, Scott, were able to defend Hunter Dickinson straight up, man-to-man. No help, really allowing their guys to extend on the perimeter, to really run Michigan off the 3-point line. And, you know, against Illinois, it was tougher because those guys could still stay in front. Michigan had a little easier time, putting it on the deck against Michigan State, but they didn't finish well. They didn't hit free throws in crunch time, and they missed the open threes that they got. I say all of that to ask you, are there any concerns for you based on those two losses heading here into the tournament? You feel any differently about this team now than you did, say, before last week when they lost both of those games?
Differently, maybe a little bit, just because of the way they lost these two games. But I still think the program ceiling, I still think this is a program, if it's playing at its best, it's capable of winning every game it plays. Am I concerned about how they finished? Yeah, but at the same time, when you get to the Big Ten tournament, but especially the NCAA tournament, where, hey, it's do or die, everything's on the line, I think you're going to have a team that understands that sense of urgency and hopefully doesn't sort of fall into those lulls that it did this past week. But the book is out on how to properly defend Michigan. Obviously, it's a lot easier said than done. And when Hunter Dickinson's not in foul trouble, and when he's a little sharper and finishing more at the capability we've seen most of the season, it's a very tough team to beat, and he's a tough guy to guard straight up. But I think opposing teams that are capable defenders, like Illinois and to a lesser extent Michigan State, know that the way to beat them is to guard Dickinson straight up, because when you double team Dickinson, Michigan's offense is even more efficient when it's giving itself open threes or open looks and things of that nature. So the book is out on how to slow down Michigan. It's just, what kind of teams is Michigan going to draw in the NCAA tournament, and are they going to have the bodies, have the athleticism, have the capability of shutting that down? And then the second part of it, in terms of how I'm feeling, I'm a little concerned. Dickinson was shut down a bit in the losses here, and the beauty of Michigan's team is earlier in the season when Dickinson was being shut down, you'd see your Livers, your Wagner, someone else stepping up and filling in, and in both of these losses, Michigan didn't really have that other person stepping in and consistently creating offense, creating looks. And I've always said that this Michigan team is pretty matchup proof. And if someone decides to shut down Dickinson, you're going to have other talented people that are willing and able to step up and sort of become the star in Dickinson's stead. And we know that they have those bodies, but those people weren't necessarily stepping up and taking the game over this past week.
Yeah, no doubt. Talking to Scott Bell here on the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com, at SBell021. You can follow him on Twitter. Great, great follow there. Just last one on Michigan. I sort of alluded to this a little bit last week, but now that they're through the regular season, I just feel like the compression here at the end. You compress a lot of games into a short period of time. The mental, the physical taxation there maybe finally catches up with them. Not that I'm saying that that's an excuse for the losses. I'm just saying, can you look at that and say, hey, them playing on Friday, having a little time to get back on kilter physically and emotionally, hopefully that extends to Eli Brooks, that maybe that can help them get back to the kind of consistency that we've seen them have offensively for the majority of the season? There has to be some reason beyond just the opposition, because even when they got open looks, Scott, they weren't knocking those down as readily as we saw them do elsewhere in the season. That's why I think that maybe mental, the physical strain of 5 games and 9 days against some good teams just caught up with them, 4 days to get ready for their next game. Maybe that can help them get back on track.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's a long season. It's a weird season. And it's an abnormal season. And everyone's playing that, and everyone's doing what they can to adjust to it. I think Michigan did so well adjusting to the oddness of the schedule, the abnormalities, the quick turns, the longer gaps. Basically, anything the season threw at Michigan early on, it handled. So I think Michigan fans might have been a little spoiled and thought that the team could sort of be abnormality proof, but it might have caught up to him at the end of this regular season. But I do think it's a mentally strong team. I think it's a very well coached team, and I think the breaks both prior to the Big Ten tournament and to the NCAA tournament should come in handy. Give this team a reset and give them an ability to sort of look at what went wrong, catch your breath, and sort of reset and get prepared for the games that really matter.
All right, so their next game is Friday, 11:30, but we don't know against who. Is it going to be Maryland? Is it going to be Michigan State? Now, I asked the listeners earlier this morning, who do you want to see? Now, if you're just going by the record, Scott, I mean, Michigan beat Maryland twice by double digits, the last time in blowout fashion. So if you're just going by that, you know, success during the regular season, you pick Maryland. There's an emotional side of this, too, though. It says, I got to give Michigan another shot at Michigan State. That's where I fall with this question. I wonder where Scott Bell falls. Who do you want to see Michigan play come Friday?
No, you want Michigan State without hesitation. And yes, part of it's a personal thing. Part of it's a selfishness thing. But this is a team of competitors that probably doesn't feel very good about how Sunday's game played out. And anytime you get an opportunity to even removing the rivalry from things to sort of get a chance to right a wrong and sort of erase a mistake, then you take that. But in the same way that I said Sunday's game was important, even though the title was locked in, but there's recruiting implications, there's perception implications. Anytime you get an opportunity to play a rival on a big stage, a 1-9 game wouldn't necessarily be a super high stakes game in terms of seeding, but without hesitation, you take Michigan State.
All right, so Scott, looking ahead, I mean, so many Michigan fans, myself included, want another crack at Illinois. Now that would mean that Michigan is in the Big Ten championship game, right? So all the more reason to want that matchup. But man, you deal with Michigan State fans on the regular. I'm sure you see or share Ohio State fans from time to time. Did you have any idea that Illinois fans were this nutty, like Hail Bop, Jim Jones nutty? It's like cultish nutty down there. I just, color me shocked. I knew they didn't like Michigan, but this is like full-scale delusion and derangement down there.
It's insane. And, I mean, usually leaning into – I was doing a little inventory of my Twitter account this morning to see – I said anything stupid that I need to right or wrong for on today's radio show, but I was looking at my Twitter account and like leading into the game of like Michigan State, a regular season finale, like this would usually be a huge game for Scott Bell trash talking on Twitter. Leading into the game, like the hour up to the game, I think I tweeted four times and one of them had to do with Michigan State and the other ones were focusing on Illinois because I was so annoyed by their fan base and their players and their coaches for what they were saying after the game too. It's incredible. So I give them credit because a couple weeks ago, like I was just rolling my eyes at them being like, oh yeah, we're Michigan or Illinois, Michigan. This is a big rivalry. And my response was, how are we a rival when we don't even know that? But they're getting me to care, but it's just out of sheer annoyance. So yeah, just like I'd want that Michigan State game in the quarterfinals. If you mark up a perfect bracket for me, I want Illinois. I want the number two seed in the title game. I'd rather have a tough matchup against Illinois, which could technically have NCAA tournament seeding implications, because I think if Illinois beat Michigan in the finals, they very well could jump Michigan on that seed line. But you still want that, and competitors on Michigan's team wants an opportunity to show that last week's game was hopefully a fluke on both sides. So yes, you want Illinois in that Big Ten title game, absolutely.
All right, Scott, so putting you on the line here because we won't talk to you We don't talk to you prior to the Big Ten tournament championship game. So does Michigan advance to the championship game? Does Michigan win the Big Ten tournament?
I wasn't prepared for this. I don't think Michigan wins the Big Ten tournament. But when I look at the bracket, I'm not really sure what happens, because Michigan's actually got a pretty good draw, and it's not a luck thing. It's how they earned it. That 4-5 game, I think if Ohio State beats Purdue, that could be a tricky semifinal. But if you tell me Michigan's line is Friday Michigan State, Saturday Purdue, and then Sunday in the title game, the most likely scenario would be them losing in the title game. So after everything I've said about Illinois, if you're telling me going into this, Scott, are they going to win the tournament or aren't they? I think the safe money is on them not winning the tournament, just because you're taking one team versus 13 other teams. But if you had to tell me to pick the most likely scenario that would knock them out, I guess it's losing in the finals to a team like either Illinois or Iowa.
Okay. We shall see how it all plays out. Big Ten tournament action geared up and ready to go starting on Wednesday with Minnesota, Northwestern, and Nebraska, Penn State. And so a couple of questions about the coaching tenures here in the Big Ten to close things out. Have we seen the last of, or will this be the last we see of Richard Pitino? Minnesota lost, as they've lost 7 straight here, a team that early in the season, I mean, they knocked off Michigan, we all know, right? They had some, they looked like they would be a threat here in the Big Ten at one point. And my, have they crashed and burned. And have we seen the last of Archie Miller in Indiana? I believe they've lost 5 straight here down the stretch. And there are a lot of Indiana fans that are ready for whoever comes next. They want to see somebody as long as it's not Archie. Is this the last that we'll see of both of those coaches?
Selfishly, I hope not, because I like that Archie Manning is – I mean, Indiana still has the capability of being a very, very good basketball program, and I think they can do a lot better than Miller. And I tell you, I'm terrified that they're going to take a run at John Beilein. I think John Beilein, if he wants to get back into coaching this offseason, he's going to have a lot of suitors. And Juwan Howard versus John Beilein, Michigan versus Indiana, would make for a very compelling watch, but a pretty terrifying reality, because I respect what John Beilein can do insurmountably. But I hope both Miller and Pitino stay, but I think reasonably both programs have to move on. If Richard Pitino's name was Richard Smith or Richard Lewis or Richard Jones, he wouldn't have a job right now anyways. And I think the luxury of being Rick Pitino's kid has certainly has worn off there, and Minnesota's just really plummeted ever since their couple week stretch at the start of the season, or at the start of the Big Ten season, where they were really dangerous, and obviously Michigan felt that firsthand. But that's a poorly coached team, and there's not a lot to like about the program trajectory.
Absolutely. Well, Scott, great stuff as always. Before you go, now we told people they can find you on Twitter at SBell021, but tell them about your newsletter, when and how they can get it.
Newsletter, scottbell.substack.com. I tweet out links to it all the time. Got some links on my Twitter to it. You can also Google Scott Bell newsletter, and it comes up. And usually I write pretty long form, 4,000, 5,000 word things a couple times a week. But come tournament time, I think I'm going to pivot a little bit and up the frequency and just have it be a little shorter and write more reactive stuff to each game, come Big Ten and NCAA tournament-wise, and see what we got going there. But I'll also still do mailbags from subscribers, people who have questions about anything, just send them in. And if it's wanting an opinion type thing, or if it's wanting me to research something, dive deep into it, happy to do it. So, yeah, plenty of good stuff ahead, and hopefully we've got a long march run to write about as well.
Absolutely. Well, Scott, as always, great stuff. Appreciate your time, and we will talk to you again next week.
Sounds good.
All right. That was Scott Bell at SBell021. Again, at SBell021. Great follow on Twitter. And the Illinois fans are just insane. I didn't deal with them a whole lot over the weekend because I was busy getting ready for, gearing up for, and participating in the roast of John U. Bacon. And one of the things I featured during my set was this lost tape. This tape of the normally calm, cool, and collected John U. Bacon, the model of professional decorum, right? Have you ever seen Bakes flustered? Have
No.
you ever heard Bakes frustrated,
Mm-mm.
annoyed, angry, upset? Have you ever heard those things? You've never heard John Bacon exhibit those emotions, things that would be diametrically opposed to this stand-up journalist that he has always shown himself to be.
A stand-up gentleman.
There was one occasion. Yeah, there was one occasion, Miz, where that wasn't the case.
Oh, really?
Where, yeah, absolutely. Now, we got to get to it after the break.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about not bringing this to the public.
Uh-oh.
But once we played it at the roast, I feel like it's out there now. And it's so far removed from the equation. There's been no repeat incident that we can truly hold this up as an anomaly for John. This is not the John U. Bacon that you know, right? This is just every man has his breaking point. And who wouldn't have reacted to Dave Brandon this way?
Hi, I'm
right?
Dave Brandon.
So we will bring that to you on the other side here. Give you a little bit of what people learned about John U. Bacon during the roast Saturday night. We'll get to that on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.